Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and again calling all Canadians back to the Bible, this time because you cannot find the fullness of God in nature. Some people are all about hugging trees. Have you ever tried it? Apart from being prickly or rough to your face, there's not much joy in hugging trees. Now, to build a treehouse is exciting for kids. To plant a tree and watch it grow can be satisfying, but not really full of daily excitement, for trees tend to grow rather slowly. We talk in terms of years and decades as opposed to days and weeks for chicks or newborn calves to grow. A calf can put on 5 pounds a day to its weight. It almost grows before the farmer's eyes. Some people talk about worshipping God through nature. Instead of going to church to hear the preacher preach from the Bible, they go off to the mountain or the forest. I wonder how much of God they have found at the end of the day. They could deduce that everything is made by someone, and that someone must be greater than the thing on the basis that the cause must be greater than the effect. They could argue from design. If they dared to cut down a tree, they would see the rings, declaring its age. And from the animal world, they would see intelligence at work, designing every animal with its own natural instincts. Every animal instinct is true to its species. Generation after generation, the same instincts are played out. Just ask a skunk about that. You will soon know, and with deep regret, how a skunk defends itself every time. Just don't come over to my house to clean up. There is no doubt that creation is wonderful, and the study of the biosphere and zoology is thrilling, as too is the human anatomy, with such intelligence. But we are always back to a maker of these things, because nothing comes from nothing. To get real answers, you need the Bible. It will give you facts that will help to date the world as a young earth. It will declare that Noah's flood is the cause for such a state of the earth's surface. Petrified fossils and layered rocks are explained in Genesis chapter 6, in the convulsions of the world during that great flood. The history of the human race, which, by the way, goes no further back than about 6,000 years, is recorded with a special trace on the Jewish people, beginning with Abraham, not long after Noah's flood. And if you want to find answers to the type of God who created and ordered all things, you need to read the Bible. The Bible not only speaks of a creator, but it also tells us about who he is, what he is like. It gives a character reference and shows us that God is great, God is good, and God is gracious. You will not find those facts hanging from a tree or in rocks. God himself has revealed himself in his word, in the book that he has given to mankind. God does not hide himself from men. He wants us to know him. It was Adam who went into hiding in the Garden of Eden. It was God who sought after Adam, asking, "Where art thou?" If you really want to know God and how to know his character as well as his purposes, you need to read the Bible. Just read of God's acts in the earth throughout its history to learn to know him. Just as you watch the neighbors who move in next door to find out what kind of people they are, you learn of their ways and how they treat each other, how they relate to other neighbors, and who they invite to their home. If dark-tinted black cars show up under the cover of darkness and the place is shut up during the day, then you know that they are up to no good. So, in the Bible, we learn of God's treatment of men, his sentence upon Adam, and God's hatred of all sin, God's acceptance of Abel and his heart to be reconciled through blood atonement. We learn of his covenants with Abraham. And best of all, we learn about God through the visit of his own Son into this world. Jesus himself was God in the flesh. So, through his perfect sinless life, we learn all that we need to know about the true and living God. You won't get that in a Canadian snow-capped mountain, but you will in every page of the Bible. Natural revelation in creation will certainly and constantly remind you that there is a God. But it takes special revelation in the Bible to know who God is, what he likes, and what he hates, and what he does. He is the God of justice and the God of grace. Yes, dear friend, you need a Bible to know the true and living God. So I throw out to you my challenge to read the Bible for 1 month. I started this because most people who criticize the Bible haven't even read it. So start today. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, and for 30 days, read through the book of John and the book of Romans. I guarantee that you will never be the same again. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and we're moving now to our message on sowing gospel seed in good ground. I hope that today that you will be a listener that will become a doer of God's Word, and that you will grow and abound in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That's my prayer for you. May the Lord bless you as we let the Bible speak.
This message today is going to be about the seed that fell into the good ground. I think you are all aware of the different types of soil, four in all, but the one that really counts is where the seed fell into the good ground and it brought forth fruit. And that's the mark of the real Christian, the real believer. All the others have some kind of experience, hearing, receiving it with joy for a while, the drought, the cares of this life, the thorns that choke them, but it's the seed that fell on the good ground that the Lord Jesus said is the mark of the true believer and the true Christian. Now, all of this is very important to sort out a whole lot of things, because we have many people in this country who call themselves religious and even Christian and sometimes even evangelical, but they live anything but like a Christian. And the Lord Jesus is teaching here that really comes down to the mighty change in our lives, the fruit that we bring forth out of our own Christianity. For example, let's go to verse 15 and compare it with verse 14. Now, verse 15 is the good ground. And the seed in that ground, we are told at the end, that it will bring forth fruit with patience. It will bring forth fruit with patience. Now, in the previous verse, you have the seed that fell among the thorns, and the problem with it is, and it will bring forth no fruit. And so that's what makes the difference. Fruit, no fruit. And if the seed is at work in hearts, doing its miraculous work of conversion, then there will be fruit. That's what our Lord taught in this beautiful parcel, in this parable. Now, if we know anything about Bible doctrine, we will know that there is no heart at all that is good ground. Every heart is stony, every heart is thorny, every heart is like the wayside that is hardened. And therefore, by nature, by natural processes, the seed can be sown and nothing happens. So what is it that makes this heart like good ground? Well, it has to be that a wonderful operation of the Holy Spirit, preparing hearts, making men and women to receive that word by faith. And that word becomes then wonderfully fruitful within their hearts and within their lives. And we're thankful that that work is happening today. We're praying for that in our children. We're praying for that in every hearer that comes along to our church services. And while people will sit with us, open their Bible with us, and in normal times sing with us and enjoy something of the service, what we must pray for is that God doesn't leave them alone to their own hardened ways, to the cares of this life, to be, what's the other one? The drought, that sun that was baking down in the ground and the root just shriveled up. No, we're praying that the Holy Spirit will water, the Holy Spirit will set people free from the cares of this life, and the Lord will do mighty things. So what are we looking for? What are we looking for? Well, that's the message. That's what we're going to look at here today, and I want you to follow with me here. The first thing to look for is the hearing. There can be no new fruit, no new miracle of grace, unless there is the hearing with the ear. Do you ever read those, what might be strange words of the Lord Jesus? Is, if any man hath an ear, let him hear. Well, as I look around, I think everyone's got ears here today. And I'm sure in the company where the Lord spoke that, everybody had physical ears. But he was really saying is, anyone that pays attention, anyone that will really take heed to the message, let him hear. And so we always rejoice when someone says, I want to come and hear the gospel. When someone comes through the doors of the church, whether that's prearranged or just drop in, we rejoice. People want to hear the gospel. That's not natural. An awful lot of people get invitations to church that never come. A lot of people get pleaded with, but they don't come. But you're here. And I pray that you're here. The fact that you're here, that you're ready to hear with an open ear. My, I sound like a poet in all of that. You're here to hear with an open ear. That's grace. That's marvelous. And we certainly rejoice as you come to join with us here today. Now, the people who like the good ground, they respond to the gospel. And to such a believer, they just take great delight in the wonderful message of the gospel. And you know, I can very often tell when someone is receiving the gospel with delight. Sometimes their jaw drops open. Sometimes their face just beams. Sometimes there's the wow experience. Never knew that before. And I rejoice to see the impact of the Spirit of God opening minds and hearts to the message of the gospel. Now, the second thing that we look for is conviction. Conviction. Let's look at that verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. So to hear the word of God effectively, so that it leads to true conversion, there has to be an openness, an honesty to expose your heart and expose your life to this message of the gospel. And these hearers, represented by the good ground, are willing to open up their hearts and say, search me. If there's sin in my life, I need to know. If there's something between me and God, I need to know. If there's something that is condemning me in the eyes of God, warn me about it. Let this be an honest preaching of the gospel, and I must be honest to receive those truths of the gospel. You remember wise Solomon said in the Proverbs, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And so it'd be easy just to clam up and cover up and say, well, maybe the preacher was preaching to somebody else, but not me. But in an honest heart, boy, I'm glad I was there to hear that. I never realized that that sin would damn me. I never realized that God would be offended with such a lifestyle. I never realized that I am in the camp of the lost. I'm on the broad road to destruction. And I needed to hear that. And there is a reception of the warnings of the gospel. It's like predicting a storm. And it's not enough just to warn the person about the storm. You need to take action. Hey, the hurricane's coming. Now, we don't get too many hurricanes up in this part of the world, but if you're down there in Louisiana, you probably get them all the time. And nearly every year, they have big hurricanes down there. And the weather reporting stations need to be accurate to warn the population to batten down, get prepared, Get your supplies in. Don't be on the roads at a certain hour and get away from the levees and the beaches. Get into a place of relative safety. It's a word of warning. But if nobody listens, they don't want to really hear that and they want to just ignore it, well, it's not like the seed falling on the good ground where there is an honest heart. Now, the seed in the good ground is like the heart that receives the good news of the Savior. It's not all warnings. It's also the warm welcome to Jesus, that He is God's eternal Son. And between God the Father and the Son, there is an eternal covenant. There is a contractual arrangement between God the Father and God the Son. God the Father, in His sovereign electing purposes, chooses sinners to life. And He gives everyone in that covenant arrangement whom the Father has chosen, He gives their names to the Son. And the Son, He rejoices in the work now that He is to do to become the Redeemer of those people. And He says, "Thank you, Father, that you have given me the honor to be the Savior of these people. And they're my people. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." And then our Lord Jesus comes into this world incarnated in our nature, our likeness. He is the Savior of men, of sinners. And He comes right down into the humiliation of a stable, dwells among men, and He lives for us. And He goes to the cross to offer up a sacrifice for sin. Now, in this good news of the gospel, it's not only the history that Jesus died on a cross, but it is the message of substitution, that Jesus died on that cross, not for Himself, but for us, His people. All whom the Father gave to Him, He took their sins upon His own body. He offered up a sacrifice to make payment, to satisfy the justice of God, so that those people would never taste the wrath of God, that there would be no hell for all the people whom the Father gave, those covenant people that are given to Christ, for whom Jesus dies and sheds His blood. Now, I can see it on your face. I got a lot of good hearers here today. That's the gospel story that we rejoice in. And it's not just a little select text from the Bible. It's that great covenant scheme that God in His eternal love chose in His mercy to come down into this world and redeem sinners. And He sent His Son to be our wonderful, wonderful Savior. Now, when God sends that seed into the good ground, into good hearts, they receive that truth. And they say, "Hey, that's for me. That's the salvation I need. That's the Savior I need." And they open their hearts and they receive that wonderful promise. They put their own name in. That's what you need to do to be a Christian. You've got to put your own name into the promise. And where it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You put your name in there. It's not just a we of the general world's population. It is me and anyone else. Me first. Me, I'm in there. My name's in there. If any man sin, we have a Savior. Any man, that's me. And you've got to put your name in the promise and claim it. Claim it as the good ground would do to receive that word of life. I would be very, very hopeful of anyone that says to me, you know, I grew up for so many years and I had no clue that God loved sinners the way he does. I had no understanding of what it meant for Jesus to die on the cross. But I have come to realize that he died for me. I would have wonderful hope that that person is ripe for salvation. I would have great hope. That is like the seed falling in the good ground. And you will be saved. You will be saved. Now, the third thing to look for in verse 15 is the one who truly wants to be saved hears the word with obedience. There's an obedience. And it says at the end that having heard the word, keep it. And then they go on to bring forth fruit. Now it's that keeping of the seed. And if we personify the seed falling into the ground as a living person and expanding the roots in that, and it's growing and it's on its way to bring forth fruit. When you hear the gospel and that message gets into your heart, you don't push it away. You don't reject it as the rocky ground would or the thorny ground would. You receive it. You let it grow. You let the roots develop. You let it get a grip of your life. You let it become part of you. And so you keep it. And that's what makes you wise in the gospel. Jesus said when he told the parable of the man building his house on the rock versus the sand, that the one building on the rock is the wise person because he not only hears, but he does. He obeys.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of this broadcast or would like to hear it again, you can go to ltbs.ca. You will also see ways you may support this gospel ministry. And you will find details about our church in Scarborough, where Pastor Larry Saunders is the minister. In Port Hope, where Reverend Reggie Cranston is the minister. In Barrie, where Reverend Anthony D'Aderno is the minister, and in Buffalo, where Reverend Phil Owen is the minister. You will find all their details at ltbs.ca. If I can be of personal help, I would love to open the Bible to talk and pray one-to-one with you, so that you may know you are saved and sure of it. Call me at 604-897-2040 or email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Until the same time next week on this station, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His loving care.